What is that? It's the sound of your heart. That wonderful, fluttery sound. Actually, it's deeper than it sounds when it's a fetus that sounds almost like a galloping horse upon the sand. But your heart is that clock that keeps you going. It is the engine room of your entire system. Joining you this morning, Dr. Monique Watts, who's a cardiologist and heart failure specialist at the Epworth Hospital, to discuss whether innately your heart could be sexist, whether it discriminates between men and women. Good morning to you, Monique.
Hi, Libby. How are you?
Well, this is a very controversial topic that you've picked.
Look, it was probably deliberately a little bit provocative, but it's true. There are some huge differences between women's hearts and men's hearts, and we haven't always appreciated this as medical practitioners or as people. And we've got new research coming out to show us that there are enormous differences and we need to be doing things differently to what we've been doing them.
Oh, tell us. What are the differences? Because I thought it was an equal opportunity world.
Or maybe even that heart disease was a bloke's disease, perhaps. We've found out that women do terribly with heart attacks, particularly younger women. So if you're a young woman having a heart attack, you're almost twice as likely to die. And you're more likely to end up with heart failure.
Hang on. What is a young woman having a heart attack?
A young woman, 35, 45, 55.
Really?
Yeah, it happens. And this is the thing. The stereotype is that heart disease affects 65, 75-year-old men. They get central crushing chest pain. But in actual fact, heart disease affects women. It's the number one killer of Australian women. Number one.
Number one?
Number one.
More so than breast cancer?
More so than breast cancer. Breast cancer awareness is fantastic, and we've got a bit to do with heart disease awareness in women.
Is it because the symptoms for women are different and women don't understand the symptoms?
Well, that's part of the problem. Part of the problem is with the patients, that they don't recognise a heart attack. They think this can't possibly be happening to me. Maybe I'm a bit nervous. Maybe I'm just panicking. Maybe I'm a bit anxious. And also when they finally do convince themselves that they should go and seek medical attention, the symptoms that they present with are really different to what we as doctors are looking for to diagnose a heart attack. So women won't necessarily get chest pain. They might get a crushing feeling or shortness of breath or pain in their arm or in their back or in their stomach, and they might feel dizzy or really tired, and medical practitioners aren't used to picking that as being a heart attack.
Why is that? Is it because heart attacks have had a checklist that have been based on a male?
Well, yeah. We've done a lot of research in heart disease, but most of it has been done in male patients. Women, particularly of childbearing age, don't really lend themselves to clinical research for obvious reasons. So we've been researching men's hearts, assuming that everything we learned also applied to women's hearts. But in actual fact, that's not the case.
But when did you learn that it didn't apply to women's hearts?
Over recent years, we've noticed that the statistics are poorer for women. And we've become very good. We've got fantastic evidence-based knowledge and treatment for heart disease that affects men. So those blocked coronary arteries that need a stent to open them up. We've become...
Is that fun to put in?
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's so like
rewarding.
Jack. It's sort of like a jack. Is it like a jack when you open it up?
Do
you
screw put it in? Yeah. No, there's no screwing.
But what do you do? How do you open it?
It's like a little balloon that just blows up and opens the stent up nicely.
Pushes all that silt to the side.
Stuff to the side, that's right. So that's the kind of heart disease that men get, whereas women tend to have heart attacks. But when we do the angiogram, so that's when they do the procedure to have a look at the coronary arteries, the arteries are often open. There's no blockage. So it's, aside from being really unrewarding because there's nothing there to fix, it's also quite puzzling because these women have presented with a heart attack. They've got the markers in the blood to say that they've had a heart attack, but there's nothing on the angiogram. So we say, well, what was this?
What was it?
So there are different diseases that can masquerade as that same sort of heart attack thing that men have. It's called MINOCA, myocardial infarction with non-obstructive coronary disease. You don't need to remember that.
With non-obstructive coronary disease.
Correct.
So MINOCA.
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 Mm-hmm. So there might be just little bits of disease there, but nothing bad enough to justify this heart attack. And it turns out that there are other conditions where maybe the artery spasms down and contracts and to stop the blood supply, but only temporarily, and then it'll open up again. So it contracts down to have the heart attack, and then when we do the angiogram, it's open again.
So she's resilient?
Maybe, if it doesn't kill her.
Oh.
Okay. So it can still be fatal. These illnesses, these diseases can still be very serious, but they can be very puzzling. And the clinician needs to look for these other causes. If they don't find the blocked artery, we need to think, okay, this is Minocca. What has caused this? Is it that they have had a dissection? So has the coronary artery split? So spontaneous coronary artery dissection is another condition that affects young women more than men. So we need to look at these other causes.
So is that like a split aorta or something
like that? Yeah, exactly, exactly. But it's of the coronary artery instead of the aorta.
Right. This is quite fascinating. So are there different cardiac surgeons or specialists, different cardiologists that specialise across different gender, or has previous thinking until now been that one size fits all?
Previous thinking has been one size fits all. There are parts of the world now where they do have women's heart centres and women's heart clinics. And in Australia, we're catching up. So we now have a women's heart clinic at the Alfred Hospital to address this exact issue, not just to treat these women with these conditions, but to also develop our own centre of research so that we can study these women and find out who is this likely to happen to, what's the best way of managing, and how can we ensure that they have the best outcome.
Let's start right here with Monique. You've blown up the switchboard, so let's do this, shall we? Sharon, line four. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, how are you?
Well, tell us your story.
This week I've been diagnosed with a pericardinal cyst. It's about 5 centimetres.
A pericardinal?
Cyst.
Cyst?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know it's different.
No, Monique's just listening.
Oh, okay. And I was just wondering if that could contribute to any heart attack symptoms. Kind of thing, because there is a bit of pressure and shortness of breath. Can that trigger?
It shouldn't. Interesting situation. So a pericardial cyst is something that exists within the pericardial space. I'm just going to explain what that is for everybody who's listening. So the heart is a big muscle that works as a pump to pump blood all around the body, but it lives in a little sac called the pericardium. So it's like its little room that it lives in. And you've got a cyst somewhere either within that pericardium, I'm guessing, or in the actual pericardium itself. So it depends on how much compression that's actually causing. It's certainly not going to affect your heart muscle in the way that it functions in terms of having a heart attack or anything like that. The only time that's going to cause trouble is if that cyst is so big that it's actually taking up the space in the pericardium so that the heart can't fully do its thing. It can't
pump
properly. So that's why that could cause trouble. And that will be monitored closely, obviously, by your cardiologist.
Can cardiologists remove the cyst? Should it look troublesome?
Well, we'd probably need a surgeon to help us do that kind of thing. A cardiothoracic surgeon would be the one that would do that usually.
Right.
If it was indicated.
So you can't kind of pop them and let the...
Again, job for the surgeon.
What do you think of that?
Righty, that's different.
So how best to, what does one maintain wellness with living with that knowledge?
The knowledge of a cyst?
Yeah.
So the first question, you'll need to be monitored closely by your cardiologist to find out whether it is causing any problems. And an echocardiogram, so that's just an ultrasound that can be done, which is probably how they found the cyst, I'm guessing.
They were actually looking for gallstones.
Oh, goodness me. And then surprise, they found something up. That's a very thorough ultrasound. It's very good. And if it's not causing you problems, such as compression on the heart muscle, which they'll be able to tell from that ultrasound, then it may be that nothing needs to be done. But if it was causing compression of the heart muscle, then that's when we need to talk about doing something.
So you're doing exactly the right thing by keeping an eye on it, and you're, I guess, lucky that they found it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And now we can, it can be watched and appropriate management determined.
Thank you very much for your call, Sharon. Fascinating. We learn more and more and more about our bodies every question, don't we? Mary?
Yes, Mary.
Good morning to you.
Hello. My question is, I've got a very strong family history of heart disease. My mum had her heart attack at 41 and her dad died, in his early 40s as well. And I'm just wondering genetics plays in all of this. You know, I've always thought, well, if you keep yourself healthy and your cholesterol down, which I'm having trouble with, you know, are you doomed genetically?
No, not at all. But you're right to be asking the question. Genetics play a big part in heart disease. And the key thing that you've mentioned there is the young age at which your relatives had their heart disease, particularly your mum. So a heart attack for a woman in the 40s is quite abnormal. And I would be thinking that there's some genetic role there. There are other risk factors. And this again comes to the difference between men's hearts and women's hearts. We're discovering that women have specific risk factors that will help us to determine whether or not they are more likely to have heart disease. And this is something that you could discuss with your GP or your cardiologist. But we know that women who have, yes, high cholesterol, obviously, as you've mentioned, you know about that, and we all know about high blood pressure. But for women, specific risk factors, so pregnancy complications, so women who have had preeclampsia or hypertension in their pregnancy, or even small for gestational age babies or preterm labour, they can all be risk factors for heart disease. Early menopause is another risk factor, so I'd be interested to know, and you may not know, whether your mum was premenopausal or postmenopausal with her heart attack, because anybody's risk, you can have a heart attack premenopausal, postmenopausal, your risk does go up quite significantly. Estrogen, so endogenous estrogen, not HRT, but endogenous estrogen, is very protective. So with menopause, when estrogen levels drop by around 90%, you do lose that protective factor. So
why? What's the difference with HRT? Why doesn't that help you?
Well, there's a Nobel Prize in that answer, Libby. We don't know. It's very, very interesting. Initially, we thought that it was all going to be the same, but it's just not. HRT is not protective, but endogenous estrogen is. So the answer to your question is to be seeing a cardiologist that knows a little bit about women's specific risk factors and doing what you can to get your cholesterol down. And then there are screening methods that can be used. So stress tests can be done, but there's also things like calcium scores where we scan your heart to see whether you have any early stages of atherosclerosis. And if you do, then working aggressively to get those modifiable risk factors under control. So making sure your blood pressure is nice and low, potentially talking to you about using cholesterol medication if we know that it's going to benefit you.
Excellent. Thank you very much. A most comprehensive answer. Angela, let's have a look at you. Angela, are you ready?
Hello, yes, I am.
Go for it.
Oh, hi. I am now turning 60 this year, but in my 40s, I saw an ad in a medical centre about having a 40-something checkup. So I went along, I had the angiogram. They said, oh, you've got an irregularity on your angiogram. And so I had to go to a heart specialist and then I had to go and get injected with the dye. And then I had to go on an exercise bike. And the doctor was saying, have you got chest pain? Have you got chest pain? I went, no, I don't have chest pain while I'm pedaling away on this bike. And I said, well, why are you asking me that? And it was because they said it was showing all the symptoms that I was having heart trouble, whereas I didn't have any chest pain.
So what was the upshot? What, cut a long story short?
They said, oh, in women you show a positive negative. Whatever that means.
What does that mean, Monique?
Exactly.
I can probably answer that one for you now. How long ago was all of this? I'm very interested.
Probably about 12 years ago.
Yeah, so things have changed a lot in that time. You're absolutely right, and you're not alone in having that kind of response to stress. Sometimes women have the symptoms, so the shortness of breath or the chest pain, and nothing shows up on the test. Or other times, as you experienced, you get positive test results, but you haven't got any symptoms. In either case, we know that the heart's probably not normal. And I would say that nowadays further investigations would be done or should be done to find out why it is that your heart didn't respond normally to exercise, because there is likely a reason. Now, as I was saying at the beginning, we've got this idea of what a typical heart attack looks like, and it's come from studying men's hearts. Women's hearts are different. You've got a woman's heart. So your typical heart attack may not involve chest pain, but you might have been having constriction to parts of your heart muscle or a lack of blood supply or an abnormality in the way that the heart was responding to exercise.
So, Monique, what should Jennifer do? What's actually... Angela, what should Angela do?
So it depends on what's happened in the interim, but I think it would be reasonable to have a chat to your doctor about this and say, look, I had an abnormal test result then that they called a false positive or whatever they called it. And it depends on your risk factor profile as
well. Just have a little checkup.
Definitely worth having that discussion.
Yeah. Excellent. Interesting text message. As an FTM, that's female to male, trans man, would my heart be more like a woman's heart or a man's heart?
Ah, very interesting situation.
And would testosterone change my heart?
Okay. So there are biological and social factors that that determine the way that a woman's heart attack will present and manage. So the social factors will determine on do I think I'm going to have a heart attack? How do I respond to that? The biological factors, you would still have a woman's heart.
Our trans man heart, so female to male we were talking about, is the heart male or female? Has it been changed by testosterone?
So it's very complicated because hormones do play a role as well. So all the peripartum cardiomyopathies and the conditions that are most high risk around the time of pregnancy, that's all impacted on by hormones. So it depends on what's happening with the hormone side of things. So if there's a testosterone that's coming in, well, that's going to make you more likely to have male-type heart disease, one could assume, but it depends on what's happening with the endogenous hormones as well.
Jennifer. Good morning to you. Hello,
Hello.
Yes, your turn, Jennifer.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I had heart failure about 2 years ago, and it was my functioning was 18%, no blockages, and it just happened to be I had mild chest pains beforehand, and a family member was going in emergency, nothing major, so I decided to be a support person and wait in the waiting room. When I was discomfort, but I had numb lips, and they said, "Oh no, that's not a sign." Mm. But they admitted me because I had a bit of discomfort, and then they said, "You've had a heart attack." Mm. But later, they said, "It's heart failure. You're on the top 5% worst cases." And I mean, I would have just gone to bed. I was sitting in the emergency department. My family member went in, said everything's fine, and she was able to go home. Yeah. But I was admitted.
You were the much sicker one sitting in the support cubicle.
It wasn't bad. I would have gone to bed.
No, but it obviously was bad. That 18% is terrible.
But the symptoms wouldn't have been.
No, no, that's what we're saying, Beth, that women just don't even realise what's going on with their bodies.
I did have symptoms, but nothing where I would have rang an ambulance, but I did have preeclampsia in pregnancy, but no one asked the question.
No, that's exactly right. And that's one of the things that we're trying to change with the Women's Heart Clinic is to try and get some knowledge out there about pregnancy complications so that perhaps if you had been told when you had your preeclampsia that you're more likely to have heart disease, then maybe you would have listened to some of these mild symptoms early on. But certainly heart failure can cause an enlarged heart and can cause problems with breathing. Heart failure can be caused by a heart attack, but is not always caused by a heart attack. And you're right, initially it can be confused, but it sounds like they got the answer in the end that you've got heart failure. I hope you're on good treatment and you're doing well.
Thank you very much for your call. Bev, hello.
Hello.
Your turn.
I've been diagnosed with a hole in the heart, and I just wonder what that means.
So there are four chambers in the heart, and the top chambers can communicate sometimes through a hole, and actually about 25% of the population have a small hole there. We've all got a hole there before we're born, and usually the hole closes up, but it doesn't always. And if it's small, it doesn't always cause trouble, and a lot of people go through life without it causing problems. A hole between the bottom two chambers in the heart is a bigger issue, and that's something that needs to be investigated and sometimes watched. But quite often holes in the heart are just found incidentally because we're doing tests to look for something else and we find them and go, oh, there's a hole, but we don't necessarily need to do anything about it.
And what about when you're getting older?
As I said, it won't necessarily cause you any problem.
Right.
If there's any question about it causing you trouble, an ultrasound of the heart will be able to sort things out for you usually.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your call.
Much.
I hope that helped a little bit.
Yes.
Excellent. Lynn?
Yes.
It's good to have these chats, isn't it? Because it just relieves a little bit of stress or puts you on the pathway to redemption.
Well, yes. It is a conundrum that I question
that I have, during both of my pregnancies, I had a heart murmur, and actually during another pregnancy, which I miscarried, I also had a heart murmur. And I'm just wondering, as I age, is it something that I need to be more aware of?
Very fair question. When with pregnancy, the blood volume in the body increases significantly. So there is more blood going through the heart. So a normal heart can cause a murmur. A murmur is just the sound of blood going through a valve. So if you've got a larger volume of blood going through, even if it's a healthy valve, you might still hear a noise. And that's called a flow murmur. So it can be an innocent, healthy thing. Having said that, abnormal valves and diseased valves also cause murmurs. So that's a question for the person who's listening to the murmur and who hears it to make a decision about, yes, we need to follow this up with an echocardiogram, an ultrasound, or no, that sounds like an innocent flow murmur, and it goes away when you're not pregnant, which means it's probably okay.
So I think the interesting thing about – oh, sorry, Carol, you were going to say?
No, it was
Lynn,
me, actually.
Sorry, Lynn.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, and I also had the preeclampsia as well.
Preeclampsia.
Okay,
so that's a risk factor for heart disease. We know that women who have preeclampsia are more likely to develop heart disease young. So instead of the average age of a heart attack maybe being post-menopause, you're at risk of having heart disease younger. So you should definitely have a chat with your doctor about that. And we love seeing patients like you at the Women's Heart Clinic to try and educate yourself and your healthcare providers about how we can avoid you presenting late with a heart attack.
So this is what's interesting about Carol. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
I'm interested in your question.
Thank you. I've sat through what I thought were symptoms before and done nothing. I just wonder how long after you have symptoms can a heart attack actually be diagnosed?
Mm. It depends on how big the heart attack was. So a small heart attack can be difficult to diagnose even a week later. There are blood tests that we can do and the markers will stay elevated for some hours and sometimes even some days. But if you've had a small heart attack, after a week we might not be able to tell anything. If you've had a large heart attack, and again this is more of a male-type heart attack where you take out a chunk of your muscle, we'll be able to see that on an ultrasound. But it's absolutely right that if you sit at home and ignore your symptoms and then present to the doctor 2 weeks later, as many of my patients do, you're certainly not alone, and say, oh, doc, I had some chest pain 2 weeks ago. That's really difficult for the doctor to diagnose what was actually going on at that time. So we would much prefer you to present with your symptoms at the time, even if you're not sure, and say, look, I feel really awful. I don't have any chest pain, but I can't really breathe.
That would mean that you would be on call.
As a cardiologist?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's one of the perks of the job.
Is that why there aren't as many women? How many female cardiologists are there?
So there are about 14% of all cardiologists in Victoria are women. So we are underrepresented, which may or may not be a reason that women's heart disease is perhaps has had the light not shone on it quite so much. But no, worldwide we are a minority, female cardiologists.
Is it a tougher area?
It's thought to be a tougher. It's definitely got that tougher image and that.
In terms of work-life balance, though, if you're trying to have it all.
I've got a pretty great life.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I'm in chatting to you on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
No, look, I don't think so. I think that we are working. We actually have a Women in Cardiology group where a bunch of us have got together and said, look, we need to mentor the younger girls and show them that this is a great profession and a great job and it can be done. So we're working hard to increase the number of women in cardiology.
We've just run out of time. Your guest has been Dr. Monique Watts, cardiologist and heart failure specialist at the Epworth Hospital. Monique, I've just got a text message that I'll finish up with.
Mm.
It says, you know why I'm going to ask this question, of course. In America, Barbara Streisand has done a lot of work and donated a lot of money on women's heart research, establishing the Streisand Heart Foundation. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. And the Barbara Streisand Heart Foundation is headed by Dr. Noel Mary-Burtz, who was my inspiration for starting the Women's Heart Clinic at the Alfred. So we are very closely connected with them and we're excited about the Women's Heart Clinic.
Ah, Barbara has done so many good things.
She has.
Monique, thank you so much
it's
for your...
It's been a pleasure.